You're listening to Rhema for Today.
Rheumatic fever. And they'd had her down to the John Seeley Hospital in Galveston, and the doctors there said, this is the worst case we've ever seen. And her knees, each one of them, was, she can't walk. Her daddy carried her. She's 9 years old. But her knees was bigger than her head, swollen up bigger than her head. The doctor said her heart was in such a condition she couldn't live much longer. I'd ministered to her out front and didn't get her healed. Oh, if a congregation only knew, they've got something to do with whether the people get healed or not. It's not all up to the preacher. But back here, I ministered to her, and she was healed.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, Taking Your Place, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
I remember I was holding a meeting in the month of May in the year of 1951. And I'll not tell you where it was, but it was down in Texas. And I had been getting people healed anywhere from 60 to 90%. Of people. I know I held one meeting down in East Texas, and the last church I pastored was in East Texas, the Assemblies of God Church. And so I was in the Assemblies of God Church, and I went out to the meeting one night, and the ministers were all gathered around. There were several churches, the local church where I was, and several more Assembly of God Church, and two or three churches of God, and one independent Pentecostal church was all cooperating with the meeting. And so these seven or eight pastors was all standing around talking, you see. And I walked up, and I just got in on the tail end of the conversation because it's about time to start church. And they were outside, out in front of the church. And so one of them asked me, said, what do you think about that, Brother Hagin? I said, I don't know. I don't know what's been said. And so they said, one of them spoke up and said, well, actually, the presbyter of the Assemblies of that section, Brother Longer, Charles G. Longer, spoke up and said, well, we all agree that 90% of the people you've ministered to has been healed in this meeting. Well, I said, I don't know about that. I think maybe 60 or 70% have. Yes, but Brother Longford said, these people are from our churches. And these pastors agree that was the best success I had. That 90%, 9 out of 10 you laid hands on, 90 out of 100 received their healing. And it was just a common thing with me to get at least 60% of the people healed. But I got to this church and only got 10% of the people healed. I'm still talking about we are doing the works of Jesus today. Only got 10% of the people healed. And I got concerned about that. And so I began to fast and pray. And the Lord said to me, now don't feel badly about it. You're doing as well here as I did in my hometown. And that's how this came to me. You know, I'd read the New Testament through. I prided myself. I don't pride myself in it anymore. I just say humbly. I'd read the New Testament through 150 times and portions of it more than that. And didn't even know some of these things was in there. It's amazing how we read over it, isn't it? And so he said to me in prayer, by revelation, he said, don't feel badly about it. You are doing as well as I did in my hometown. I said, what? And so he gave me this scripture. He said, I only managed to get a few healed. At least you've done better than that. You've got about 10% of them healed. How many is a few anyway? Not many, is it? Well, I said, praise God for those that did get healed. Now then, he said, I'm going to tell you how you can get more people healed. Well, I said, how? Well, now tonight, when you come to the healing line, don't minister to anybody out front in the main sanctuary. They had built a new sanctuary. They had their old sanctuary, and they had some Sunday school addition to begin with. Then they put other Sunday school rooms in, and then they left a larger outer auditorium, a meeting room out in the middle of the old sanctuary. He said, take folks back there and minister to them, lay hands on them. And don't allow anybody back there, don't allow anybody back there except folks who want to be ministered to, those that need healing. Don't even let the pastor or his wife come back there. Lord, I said, you're going to get me in trouble. I can't tell the pastor he can't go back into his own church. I mean, he's pastor here. Well, he said, I'm going to tell you how to do that. Aren't you glad the Lord's smarter than you are? Well, if he wasn't any smarter than you, we'd all be in a mess. Aren't you glad he has wisdom? He said, I'm going to tell you how to do it. He said, just ask the people, how many of you will object to me following Jesus' example? And then he said to me, go, and I knew it was in the scripture anyway, to the gospel according to St. Mark. In case you don't know it, why don't you just turn now? Why don't you just turn to Mark's gospel? We were up there in the fourth chapter of Luke to begin with. But notice here now, the gospel according to St. Mark. But now notice, in the seventh chapter, beginning reading with the 31st verse, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him, that's the 32nd verse now, they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand on him. See, they believe in laying on hands. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ear and spit and touched his tongue. And the 35th verse says, and straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosened, and he spake plain. He said, now, I took that man before I ministered to him aside from the multitude. Do you know why I did? I said, no, I don't know why you did. I remember reading and wondering why I did. He said, there's too much unbelief in that crowd. I couldn't got him healed in that crowd. Well, what do you think he took him aside for? Are you listening to me? And so he said, just read that verse of scripture and tell him what I told you. And tell, ask them, how many of you will object to me following Jesus' example? Make them go on record. Make them lift their hand. Even the pastor, make him lift his hand. And I just kept on till everybody lifted their hand. And I said, well, the Lord told me to take them aside tonight. You object then? Now look into the 8th chapter. 22nd verse. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. They did. They believed in laying on the hands. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house and said, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. And so I took the folks aside. And the minute I did, I started getting them healed. There was one little, see, this is 52, it's before the charismatic move when other denominations got in. A Roman Catholic family, they didn't go to Protestant church, but they brought their little girl because she had fever, you know, it affects your heart. And what is it? Rheumatic fever. And they'd had her down to the John Seeley Hospital in Galveston, and the doctors there said, this is the worst case we've ever seen. Her knees, each one of them, was, she can't walk. Her daddy carried her. She's 9 years old. But her knees was bigger than her head. Swollen up bigger than her head. The doctor said her heart was in such a condition she couldn't live much longer. I'd ministered to her out front and didn't get her healed. Oh, if a congregation only knew, they've got something to do with whether people get healed or not. It's not all up to the preacher. But back here I ministered to her and she was healed. Now, not instantly. You didn't see any change in it, but in 3 days' time, she's a jumping and a walking. I held a meeting the next year close by and the family was over. Laid hands on them, they was filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. In fact, they said, we've been going to a full gospel church now where they believe in healing. We took the child back to the hospital there in Galveston and said, the examiner said, well, her heart's perfect. She's perfectly all right. We've never seen anything like this. It's a miracle of God. What happened? They told him what happened. And the doctor, I've always got along better with doctors than I have preachers. Doctors are glad to see people get well. I think some preachers would rather they'd die. That proves I'm right, that healing's not for us. The doctor said, well, whoever the fellow is, said more power to him. Our hat's off to him. This is a miracle. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I began to get people healed. And from then on, the rest of that meeting, I took them back there and ministered to them. Pastor said, I said, the Lord told me, don't even let the pastor back there or his wife. I thought he might close the meeting on me, but he didn't, unless they would come for healing. But you know what happened? About a year later, I was attending a certain meeting and that pastor was there. He had changed churches and he said, Brother Hagin, I want to apologize to you. Well, I said, fine. I don't know what you need to apologize to me for. But he said, you remember you held me a meeting last year? See, when I say year, it's calendar year, but it was more than 12 months. Oh, yeah, 15, 16 months. Yeah. Well, he said, I know exactly why you took the people. So I said, me and my wife were so full of unbelief, God couldn't have done anything. You know, sometimes that's the truth. Amen. I know exactly why you took them aside. And I won't apologize to you because I was such a great hindrance to you. Well, I said, boy, you sure were, but thank God anyway. But he said, I want you to know I've got lined up with the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, sometimes people think, I know a lot of times in churches, a lot of times in ministering people, I don't minister to them out front. You couldn't have got them healed to save your life out front, or couldn't got them filled with the Holy Ghost out front to save your life, because the very atmosphere is charged with unbelief. You got to get back somewhere else. You ever stop thinking about it? You're doing the works of Jesus when you do that. Now, don't just do that because somebody else did it. Just do it in the flesh and nothing will happen. But you do it, bless God, inspired by the Spirit of God, because he said do it and something will happen. Not only that, but you ever notice here that in one of these cases that Jesus, the Word of God tells us that he spit on his finger and touched that fellow's tongue and put his fingers in his ears. I mean, was spit on him. Isn't that terrible? You got any scripture for that? Well, no, I don't find any precedent at all for that. But you see, if the Holy Ghost tells you, it'll work. I was preaching, first time this happened to me is right here in the state of Oklahoma, down in southeast Oklahoma in Broken Bowl, in Assembly of God Church. And I saw this woman in the healing line. You've heard me tell it before, but it'll bear repetition. And I knew she couldn't be pregnant because she must be 70 years old. And yet her stomach's big, you know, just like she's about 9 months pregnant. And so when she got up to me, she just sort of wore what I call a Mother Hubbard dress. Actually, it just hung from her shoulders down, you know. I mean, because she's... And so I said, when she got up to me, I was taking them one by one. I said, well, what's wrong with you? Well, she said, you see this huge tumor? I said, yeah. Well, she said, I'm 72 years old. She said, I've been operated on twice. And he came back the third time up in Oklahoma City. And she said, the third time when he came back, I went back there to Oklahoma City, and the doctors, several of them, they had a consultation, and they said, we're not going to operate on you. We feel that you'll live longer if we don't touch it anymore.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Kenneth W. Hagin's book, How to Live Worry-Free. Next is Reverend Lynette Hagin's CD entitled, The Lord Our Peace. Also a single CD by Denise Hagin Burns called Deep Roots in God. The last item is Craig Hagin's CD, Just Believe. All these items at the special discounted price of $25. Call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. Again, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or if you prefer, you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Camp meeting.
Wow.
July 20 through 25.
Here, right here on the USA campus. Begins Sunday night at 6 p.m., then Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. services, 2:30 p.m. services, and 7:30 p.m.
July 20 through 25. Hey.
Yes.
It's not too late to get here.
That's right.
Just come on down, and it's going to be a great time, okay?
That's right.
Call 1-888-FAITH-99. That's toll-free, 1-888-FAITH-99. Tomorrow, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue his message, Taking Your Place. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.